Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, clones, welcome back to the Daily Jungle. Great to have you here. Hope you backed it in, denimed up, and finished your week strong. Another huge show for you. And what a night it was in New England. Banner number 5, Marky Mark, Bob Kraft, Pats fans killing Raj. And then the Chiefs come in and they take a shovel to the champ's face. Kareem Hunt went legend in his NFL debut. And Alvin freaking DeLauro was the man who called it. He saw it coming. Also, Lady Clone legend Kay Savage made her jungle debut on the phones. All of that plus Alvy's week that was. Let's get this thing rolling. Lots to talk about from last night's game. I could easily do an entire program on last night's game. You see, last night set up perfectly for the Pats and their fans. The season opener in Foxborough. The commissioner on hand so they could boo him and shove their fifth Lombardi in his face. And then they could remind the rest of the country just how awesome they are by looking back at that Super Bowl win over Atlanta. Then bust out all their new talent and then smash Kansas City. A perfect night. And things did get off to a pretty good start. MMQB caught the sound as Roger Goodell took the field last night at 7:35 p.m. Eastern. Look, I'll be honest. I talked about it yesterday on the program. I was expecting even more from Pats fans when it came to the booing. I was expecting that level of venom to last for minutes on end. But no matter, because the team jumped out to a 7-0 lead, forced a Kareem Hunt fumble, and then went up another touchdown when Tom Brady hit Rob Gronkowski for a diving catch in the end zone. That beatdown was on. Until it wasn't. Because the replays, of course, showed that Gronk did not complete the catch. The touchdown came off the board. And the Chiefs stoned the Pats when they went for it on fourth down. And after that, it all fell apart. Physically, mentally, and statistically. And as you might imagine, Bill Belichick was Bill Belichick after that game.
We gave up 42 points. Stopped on 4 short yardage plays. Got to coach better. Got to practice better. Got to play better. We got a lot of work to do. I mean, that's obvious.
Jesus. Yeah, it's pretty obvious, Hood. It certainly is obvious. But what wasn't so obvious before the game, when the team was a Super Bowl lock, right? It wasn't obvious then. A Super Bowl lock. So exactly what happened? Tom Brady said part of the problem was their attitude and their competitiveness.
I just think we need to, you know, have more urgency. And, you know, go out there and perform a lot better. It's a winning attitude and a championship attitude that you need to bring every day. And, you know, we had it handed to us on our own field. And, you know, it's a terrible feeling. And, you know, there's only people that can do something about it in that locker room. And we got to dig a lot deeper than we did tonight because we didn't dig very deep tonight.
My question, how the hell does that happen to that team on that stage? Did they start to read their own clippings? Did they start to believe their own hype? Because that's something that a Belichick and Brady team has never done. But maybe it did come too easily, too quickly in that game. Because after ripping through Kansas City initially, the offense slowed down. And aside from Mike Gillisley, and when that guy was getting off, I couldn't help but think about Rich and Copyright Hills. He was getting off, but other than him, that offense looked pretty underwhelming. If this is what they look like, or this is what they're going to be about without Julian Edelman, then we should be talking a hell of a lot more about JE11 than TB12, because the Patriots looked very unpatriot without him. Even their short yardage plays that they usually dominate, they came up short time and time again. And speaking of TB12, he finishes the night 16 of 36. 267 yards, no touchdowns, and looked every bit 40. You know, sometimes athletes just show up and age out. Just show up one day and no longer have what they used to have. Like a boxer who shows up one night and isn't nearly what he used to be. A boxer who shows up and can't do what he used to do, can no longer slip punches or land them. There was certainly an element of that to Brady last night. Now, look, I'm not going to get crazy with it. It was only one game. Folks who have tried to bury him in the past have been burned badly. Fact is, though, this dude was not going to do it forever. And Father Time is still undefeated. So the Pats and their fans better hope that was just one bad game and that this is not who this guy is now, because Alex Smith was far and away the best quarterback on the field last night. And that's not the only problem. In fact, the defense was their biggest problem. Their defense looked downright horrible. Pass rush was a concern coming in, and it's a bigger concern coming out, as is the fact that they allowed 536 yards, 536, most ever allowed by a Belichick team in New England. I mean, how does that happen again to that team on that night? Last night was supposed to be about reminding the entire world that they had that amazing comeback in the Super Bowl and that they pretty much invented the game of football. Instead, Kansas City, and Chiefs fan is feeling it, right? Kansas City goes into their house, punches them in the face over and over and over again. KC receivers running free in their secondary and dropping peace signs on them as they jogged into the end zone. That's not supposed to happen. Not in Foxborough and not last night. But again, the Hood said it best himself. Quote, bad defense, bad coaching, bad playing, bad football.
Bad defense, bad coaching, bad playing, bad football.
Actually, my bad. That's not what he said. What he said was, bad defense, bad Jesus, bad coaching, on to New Orleans. Ladarius Webb is my guest. Ladarius, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. There you are. What's up, man? How are you? How are things?
Everything is great. Thanks for having
me. Good to have you on the show. I'm starting to get a sense of why I couldn't hear you before, so we'll give it a shot. Listen, it's the Friday before the season opener. You've been a pro for quite some time. This year you open up with a division game right out of the gate on the road at Cincinnati. So when you think about going up against the Bengals, what types of thoughts do you have?
A tough team. We had a tough time with them the past few years because Andy Dalton been playing like a pro bowler. He makes some good decisions. He always makes the right checks, and they always come up with a big play at the end of the game somehow. And you have to like take your hats off because this is a tough ball team, and we're gonna have to be on our A game to go into Cincinnati and get a W.
Ladarius Webb joining us. Now, you've been a staple in Baltimore for quite some time, part of the fabric of that team and the identity of the defense. But back in March, the team announced that they were going to release you. Now, you know it's a business and things like this happen, but what was your reaction when that did become official?
I was kind of shocked because I had been here my whole career. I didn't know anything else. All I knew was Baltimore. But I was ready for the new journey. But when Ozzie called and wanted me back, I was happy to get back on the team. You know, we brought in a lot of good pieces like Tony Jefferson, Brandon Carr, you know, Weddle's second year. I felt like coming back, man, we'll be a strong team. So that was part of making my decision of coming back here.
You know, in part, you answered my next question, but you always hear it's not personal, it's not personal. I don't know how you could take it as anything other than personal when you invest what you had invested in it. And then the fact is, you had interest from a lot of other teams, and a lot of people in your situation might have been angry with the team that drafted them, giving up on them the way they did at that point, but then you did decide to resign. I mean, was that a no-brainer, or was that kind of a difficult decision you had to work through?
Yes, it was. It was a difficult decision. I had to check my pride first. You know, I've always been a starter, so coming back into the team and not, you know, being the starter right off was going to be difficult for me. So I wanted to check my pride first, but I wanted to be that difference maker, you know, come in and show the young guys how we do things around here, you know, continue the tradition, continue to show Tony Jefferson and Weddle, you know, the correct way. Not that they've been doing it the wrong way, but just how we do things in the purple and black. So it was an honor to come back with the Ravens wanting me to retire a Raven. That's awesome also. So I'm just happy to be here. I'm ready for this journey that we're about to have this year. I'm very excited about, you know, the defense and what we have and all the young talent that we have. So we're ready for Sunday to let it all loose.
Clones, give me 1 minute if you don't mind. I would love to talk to you about Stamps.com. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. I can mail any letter, any package using just my computer and printer, and the mailman picks it right up. I can avoid the hassle of the post office and mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. And you can create your Stamps account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you are done. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. You can print postage for letters or packages at your own convenience 24/7. It's convenient, it's easy, it's reliable, it's flexible. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. I use Stamps.com because I can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, and any class of mail I have using my own computer and printer. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the very top of the homepage, type in Rome. Stamps.com, enter Rome. Stamps.com, never go to the post office ever again. That's Stamps.com. Now it's back to our Daily Jungle. Ladarius Webb joining us. I mean, there's so much in that answer. I mean, as it turns out, and you mentioned Tony Jefferson. He's there. Eric Weddle's there. When you look at the secondary that includes you and the other two guys, that's a lot of talent and that's a lot of experience. How good could this unit be?
This could be a great unit. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it. I really do believe in this unit. You know, with Brandon Carr and Jimmy Smith, you know, locking down the outsides. Plus having a first round and Marlon Humphrey coming in with a little depth. The corners, I feel absolutely 100% confident on those guys. And then when you have a Tony Jefferson and Eric Weddle in the back end controlling the defense, you know, C.J. Mosley, I know I'm naming a lot of names, but those are some important guys to our defense that are going to make us go to that next level. You know, Terrell Suggs, Brandon Williams, Matt Judon, you know, Anthony Levine, those type of guys are going to make us that defense that we've been waiting on for some years.
Ladarius Webb joining us. You mentioned Terrell Suggs. Now, you've been with that defense as long as anybody not named Terrell Suggs, so you know the Raven way, and you know what that Ravens defense is all about. How would you describe the Raven way to an outsider?
Relentless. If there was one word, just he never feel like he's done. He never feel like the game is over. Like he's going to go 110% at all times, even if he's doing it the wrong way. We all about effort. We don't teach effort here. You have to play with effort if you want to be a part of our defense. But you have to just be smart, chaotic. That's our defense. But relentless explains it the most, man. You got to want it more than the next man beside you.
You know, you said also one of the reasons you came back was you want to be able to kind of share the knowledge you now have with some of the younger guys. Ed Reed was somebody who was a mentor to you when you first arrived. So what are some of the things maybe that you learned from him that you're passing on to the other players now?
I mean, without talking about off the field, Ed Reed was big on the community. He taught me how to give back to the community, help those who's in need. So that's one thing I teach the guys. But also just keeping that iPad, keeping that playbook in your hand, that film, just watching, just continue watching it. Because anytime I saw Ed Reed or Ray Lewis, they always had their iPads. And I'm just like, it's not that much that you can watch. But once you start getting experience, you realize, yes, it is. And that's why those guys are great. They're going to be first ballot Hall of Famers because they never put their film down. And that's how you get to the next level.
You know, Ladarius, you mentioned also the community. You and your foundation had an event recently to collect purple socks and funds for Hurricane Harvey relief. But the foundation had also been hosting the weekly wind down each Friday in August. Where did the idea come from, and what were you and the foundation hoping to accomplish with the weekly wind down?
I just started this mentorship. Men 18 to 35, we got guys very qualified to mentor them on a weekly basis. I'm going to go through a 90-day program. So my thing is I want to meet people who want to get involved, people who want to be mentors, people who maybe need to be mentored, or just role models. You know, we want the men, we want the little kids, the young men to see how it's done right. And that's very important for our future. It's for the kids to know how it's supposed to look so they can change our future. So I'm all about kids. I love the kids. They are our future, so that's why I do so much for the kids, you know, football camps, just to inspire them, try to give them the confidence to get where I am or to be that lawyer or the president, you know, and that's very important. So I'm always down for the kids.
Darius Webb, safety for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, I had Minnesota Viking Terrence Newman on yesterday, and legend has it that part of his longevity is due to the fact that he does enjoy wine. Are you a wine guy as well? And if so, what kind of wine do you go for?
I'm not really a wine guy. It's just not me and my wife thing. I'm not a wine guy.
Can I tell you something?
I'd rather have a Heineken.
I was hoping you had some advice for me because neither am I. I'm not a wine guy either. I know nothing about wine. Whoa, bro, did you say you're a Heineken guy?
Hello?
Did you say you're a Heineken guy, Ladarius?
Yes, I'd rather have a little Heineken or a Corona. I don't drink too many because it makes my belly big. But I'd rather have one of those.
Dude, we are so on the same page. I'm a Heineken guy, too. But it's heavy.
Yeah, maybe we need to meet and have a drink.
Let's do that, man. I'm in. Anytime, anywhere, it's on me, Ladarius. I will buy that Heineken or two.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, man, I definitely want you to hold me to that. Really quick, what's your max? I mean, are you a one Heineken guy or a two Heineken guy or a five Heineken guy?
I'm going to do three.
Okay.
I'm going to say three. It just depends on how I'm feeling after those three.
And do you drop them in the freezer for about 10 minutes before?
Oh, man. If I drop them 10 minutes before and they're ice cold, then, yeah, I'm going to go for three automatic.
That's it. Darius Webb, he's the 2014 Ed Block. Dude, are you and I related somehow?
I think so. I really do. Alabama? You have any relatives in Alabama?
I was born in Alabama. No. Don't you know that?
Oh, we might be.
I didn't even know it, man. Maybe we're cousins. Ladarius,
I believe we are.
All right, listen, you're the best. I appreciate you. Always good to have you on the show, and definitely you hold me to that. I would love to take care of that.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for having me on.
Ladarius, you're the best. Kareem Hunt. Now you know why the Chiefs were not afraid to let Jamal Charles go. Now you know why Andy Reid was not sweating Spencer Ware going down. Because that's Kareem Hunt if you need him. And the Chiefs' third-round draft pick. A going-away present, if there ever was one, from fired GM John Dorsey. Absolutely wrecked the Pats' defense. Going legend in his first start. Racking up more yards from scrimmage in his debut than any rookie ever. And that was after he fumbled away his first career NFL carry. Something you know because they made this blatantly clear last night. He never once did that, though, at Toledo. Never once put it on the ground. Never once. And in his first touch, in the NFL, he put it on the ground. But Mr. Thursday Night just treated the defending champs like some kind of maction. Only that was not the Akron Zips defense. That was Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia's. And when you think about all the crazy schemes and formations that Andy Reid can run, I do need to see this guy do it more than one time. You may as well just hand this cat the Rookie of the Year trophy right now. I mean, that's how blown away I was by his performance. And especially after he put it on the ground. I'll tell you what, though. If my office is anything like your office, you've probably already got that guy. You know, Friday morning guy. That guy after the first game. Guy. The guy who walks in, chest all puffed out, because he drafted Kareem Hunt. As an example, we've got that guy. You know why we have that guy? Because every office has one. Every office has one. So you know my crew. You know the XR4TI. If I were to ask you, who do you think that guy is? Because every office has one. Who would you guess? In fact, why even waste your time with all the suspense? It's Alvy. You should have seen Alvy walk in here this morning.
Hey, Alvin.
Dude was acting like he had just ripped DraftKings' billion-dollar prize for drafting the perfect lineup.
Not everybody has your ability, Alvin.
I get that, but Alvy had that billion-dollar swagger walking in here. You know, kind of like Conor McGregor walking around the cage. Alvin's like, dude. Now, dudes. I've been telling you about Kareem Hunt for months. Dude, I was just mad Spencer Ware got hurt because it bit his price up. Dude, I know more about Kareem Hunt than Kareem Hunt knows about Kareem Hunt. And be damn sure incredible. I know more about him than Andy Reid. By the way, I know more about football than any of you guys do. I know more about football than Bill Belichick does. Look at me, dudes. Look at me. Right, Steve? Kareem freaking Hunt, if you need him. Freaking me, if you need me. Dude.
Alvin's incredible.
Let me tell you something, dudes. Dudes, be quiet. Vance Max, shut your mouth. I'm talking. Dudes, Mill is going to let me get freaky tonight. After she sees that pile of cash, I'm going to win this weekend on DraftKings. Wait till I drop that billion on Mill. A bill for you, Mill. A bill for you, Mill.
Dude.
Freaky, y'all. Yeah, I said it. And I can't wait to show her the stack. Ali, I think, just pre-booked the corner suite in the maternity ward for 9 months from Mark. Yeah, dude. That's exactly what we're going to do. And you know what? I've already got the name picked out. Really, Alvin? Really? What are you going to name that kid? Kareem Hunt Zorro DeLauro. Yeah, I said that too. How you like me now? Tell me how you know what tastes. Do you think that Alvin just put two matching bathtubs in his backyard and slammed that little blue pill? Hey, Alvin, we get it. You're a fantasy god. You're a fantasy legend. It's you and everybody else. And the funny thing is, he was hyping Kareem Hunt for months. Like he was. Like back in July, Alvin was walking through the hallway. I'm telling you, dudes. I'm telling you. Even before Spencer Ware went down. And nobody was more pumped when they found out that DraftKings was coming to the program. Alvin's like, good.
Dude.
First thing, Kareem Hunt. Write it down, betches. Write it down. Do you know why I'm acting like I'm the smartest guy in the room? Because I am. At this point, I just get out of the way. The thing is, too, it's not like some one-off. I mean, the kid does this every single year. This is not unusual.
How play is that, man?
This is not unusual. Alvin was the guy that went with David Johnson 2 years back before anybody was talking about him. Man, Alvin, like when Alvin played point guard and he won the state championship, my man's got court vision. Alvin just sees things that others do not see. So, and by that I mean he sees things before they happen. You can't see it if it hasn't happened yet, but somehow the kid does. Like eyes in the back of his head, eyes. Even that doesn't matter. It's one thing to see something behind you. It's one thing to see something that hasn't happened yet, but Alvin can, and Alvin does. This kid is a prodigy. Alvin was like, I think, the guy who delivered Hunt to Toledo. I think Alvin was the guy who knew. Alvin was that guy who was going running around the nation telling coaches when Hunt was 11, sign him, get his name on paper, I'm telling you. First of all, you're Alvin DeLauro, right? Don't you engineer Jim Rome's radio show? Dude, stop judging the book by its cover. I'm telling you, you want to get rich, you want to get smart, you want a better job than the one you have right now, you sign this kid. Alvin, he's 11. Do it.
Shout out to my Filipino family. Big shout out to Alvin, too.
Do it. I think Alvin was the guy who said, hey, Mr. Hunt, this should be Mrs. Hunt. And the two of you should procreate, because I'm telling you, you will create an amazing child. And that child will one day be on TV killing it. And you're all going to wish you would listen to me. Dude, this is awesome. Why did I work here 10 years before you finally let this out? I don't know, Alvin, it's your time. It is your time, Broham. It is your time. You know why, Alvin? I'll be straight. Because frankly, I've got a family to feed myself. And I know if I let this out, you and I would switch places. And then you'd have my paycheck, and I'd have your paycheck. And then you'd run the world. And I'd run the board. Dude, he is the smartest guy in the room. I'm just telling you straight up. You see Santa Cruz, bro. Manic Bloom released this song. Dude, these guys are so good. Fellas, give me the B-side. Or at least just drop another line or two about Kareem Hunt in here. Brian Dozier is my guest. Now, you're coming off that win where you had that game-tying RBI, Brian, in the ninth inning. Can you take me through the at-bat? What were you looking for? And then how did it feel to come through the way you did?
Well, obviously, you got one of the better relief pitchers in the game last night with that we faced him a week before, and
we ended up scoring a few runs off of him, but it wasn't enough, and he kind of walked a few guys. So I was going to try to be patient. He left a slider up, and I thought I might have got it out of here, but ended up being a sack fly. And then good job by Jorge Polanco right off the two runs to go ahead. But that was kind of – that's one of those games, Jim, that you can kind of look back after the season. That might have that could be the deciding game down the stretch right now. It's always that one or two games that get you over the hump, I guess, so to speak. And last night could have been one of those games.
Shoot, Brian, you're ahead of me. You know I was going to go there next. I was going to say, given that you came from behind in the ninth inning on the road this time of year to win the way you did, how critical is that win? And I guess you answered it. That might be a game you look back on.
Well, it you know, after the season, especially if you're in a playoff hunt or whatever, and whether you lose by a couple or win by a couple, you always look back in, at a handful of games during the season that could have gone either way and that should have gone you know, our way, I guess, so to speak. And we've had a few of those early on in the season that we came back from four or five runs in the eighth and ninth inning. But last night was definitely just how the game kind of transpired. And we got a guy on the mound, Gibson, who threw the ball really well that deserved the win. And then the guy they had going for us, I mean, for them, we couldn't really get any runs off of. And then all of a sudden, boom, and very last inning, that's when we score all our runs to come back from and score three runs to win the game. But you always look back at a couple of them, and last night's probably one of those games.
Brian Dozier joining us. So let me get you a look back, Brian, on July 31st. At that time, the team was three games under 500, four and a half games out of a playoff spot. What was the mood like in the clubhouse at that point?
Well, you know, we didn't do ourselves any favors to – I mean, we played like crap, to be honest. We played good the first half of the season, and then all of a sudden – something happened, I guess, leading up to the deadline, and we didn't make it very easy, especially for our front office to make a decision to buy or sell, hold tight, or whatever the case may be. And I think we lost five out of six leading up to the deadline. And I don't know, we got rid of a couple of pieces, but you know, at the time, I feel like everyone was kind of frustrated with the fact that we were selling, but we still realized we knew we had a really good team, and just to kind of hang with us, and we'll get things going in the right direction, which we have. I remember at the time it was kind of frustrating, but, you know, all in all, you got to, I always like to say, cowboy up a little bit. Even though times get a little tough and you lose a couple of pieces, good. You know, you find another way to win, and we've done that so far, so we responded pretty well.
Brian Dozier, my guest, you know, even your manager, Paul Molitor, said he can't really explain why this team is where it is. So, like, when did you realize that the team had something special in it and you could do more than just improve on last season but maybe have a great year as a group?
Well, we're in the day of age where everything's about numbers and sabermetrics and how to have a winning team and all this kind of stuff. But what it boils down to that it's brought to light more than ever is this team we have this year, that a very selfless team that just knows how to win a game. And, you know, we obviously – we're not the highest payroll team. We don't have the most all-stars by any means or whatever. But when we step between the white lines, Jeff, it's kind of everybody pulling for one another, playing with heart and passion. You don't see that enough around the league, especially from a young group of guys that we have. We're very young. And just to see them kind of take ownership in the team and kind of come into their own and their position and everything and kind of work together, I don't know, it brings you back to your younger days, back in high school and college and those kind of things. So that's it's always fun when we step between the white lines and all pulling for one another.
You know, when you lay it out like that, Brian, I wonder, like with sabermetrics and analytics and metrics, and there's so much of that stuff right now, like you said, it's everywhere. So is it overrated or underrated? In other words, you're like, hey, give me more. I can't get enough of that stuff. Or it's like, hey, can you stop feeding me that stuff right now? Some of this other stuff that always worked in the past still works and is important.
Well, I think it's you got to collaborate both of them together. Obviously, in the game, you have all these stats and numbers and what to do and what not to do and who to get and who not to get and all this kind of stuff. But when it boils down to it, I'm gonna tell you, I've been on some teams that have a lot of good sabermetric players and have a lot of guys that do a lot of things the right way that people say to do, I guess, nowadays. But when it boils down to it, when you start a game, are they pulling for one another? Do they have the heart and the passion to win a game? Are they, you know, worried about your stats or anything? And I don't know. It's a beautiful thing when you all play together and you play with heart like we've been playing. And there's no ceiling, I guess, so to speak, when you do that.
certain things you cannot measure. Brian Dozier joining us. So, Brian, what's it like last year? Like you set an American League record for most home runs by a second baseman. You had an amazing year, but you did it for a team that lost more than 100 games. So you're having this great, great season from an individual standpoint, but as a team, it was not going so well. What was that experience like?
Well, I wish my wife was here in Kansas City with me. I'll let her answer this question for you. She could tell you how miserable I was last year of actually going to work, to be honest with you. It was, obviously with the homers and, all that kind of stuff that accomplished last year, what it boils down to, you can never get the taste out of your mouth when you're considered the worst team in baseball. You put all that the accolades and accomplishments and all that kind of stuff individually, you throw that out the window because you play the game to win, and that's what you sign up for. If you sign up for anything from an individual standpoint, you might as well play golf or tennis or something like that. That's what I always say. So, but last year was a miserable year, and we set out in spring training to clean all of that stuff up, what cost us so many games last year, and we did that in spring training. I think it's paying off right now.
I don't know. Let's find out. She says it is her. She's only emailed. She's never called. And I don't think we've ever seen a tweet from her, right? Just email. Let's find out. We go to Texas. Kay Savage. Caitlin Savage, is that really you?
Yes, sir, it is.
Kay Savage, what's your deal? What's going on?
Well, I just thought I'd call in. There's been a conspiracy theory for a little bit over a year, so I just wanted to put that to rest.
All right, so how do we do that, and how do I know it's you?
Well, do you have any questions, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, as an example, like what's taken you so long to come forward and come out like this so that we know it's you? Like, what do you make of this whole thing? Like, you send emails, and I say, I don't know if she really exists or not, and then the clones are all about it. What have you made of the whole conspiracy thing?
I really didn't even know it was going to turn into anything. I just thought I'd send an email, see if it got read, and it did. And then I guess my last name kind of put me on the map, and that is my real last name. I did not change it. It was funny, and I was going along with it for a little bit, and I figured it's football kicking off. It's Friday. I'm on my lunch break. Let's call in and see what this is about.
All right, so that sounds a little bit like the Kay Savage I know. And you're right. Part of it is your last name, like Savage, Kay Savage. Is that your name? Is that a husband's name? Is it a real name?
That is my real name. I'm not married. That's name that was given to me at birth.
Caitlin, you're going to keep that name, right? I mean, because I know you'll be married because I've heard your rap. I've seen your rap. I know you'll be married. You're going to keep that name?
I feel that I should. I don't know if I can change it.
No way. All right, so what's the weekend? This will be a test. I'll know it's you, I think, and it's tougher on the air than on email, but what are your plans for the food?
Well, I am going to be making some pulled pork sliders, some homemade pizza. Really perking up about football, my Saturday morning will consist of chugging some aluminum tacos for breakfast, popping bottles, getting ready for the Sooners to take care of stinky Ohio State. And then Sunday, I'm not real sure if I'm just going to be hungover or just let down again by the Bears because, you know, in the end, the feeling's all pretty much the same. And then just drink all weekend. I'm not going to have a fort, so sorry about that. I don't have time to build forts right now. But, yeah, that's my weekend.
Caitlin, it sounds like you. You know why? I found one of your old emails, and what you just said sounds like this. Tell me if this rings a bell. Quote, Romers. Okay. Let's kick this hump day off right. Here's my take on fight night. I'm predicting the real winner will be me. I'll be partying balls all day and night, no matter how the fight goes down. I can't lose with that strategy. War lady freaking party clones. Kay Savage in Texas.
That was me. I did drink Jack Daniels all weekend.
How'd that go? How did that fight weekend go for you?
It lived up to it. I can't complain. It was pretty good. It was a good fight.
How do you even remember? Because you were partying balls all day and night, no matter how that fight went down, remember?
Oh, well, it's not just chugging whiskey. If I'm going to drink whiskey, I'm pretty stable all weekend. I did party balls like Friday, but Saturday I made sure to be aware of what was going on around me. So I had to make sure I could see the fight.
Good strategy. All right, so are you going to – now you've come off of email and onto the phones. How long until you're on Twitter?
Well, I do have a Twitter account. I've just never really used it. I work a lot, so I don't really have time to keep up with everything. It goes so fast, but I'll try to shoot some Twitters out and see how that works.
All right. Well, Kaylin, you're going to shoot some tweets out, not some Twitters, but I understand. Oh. I see you working. I see you working.
See, there you go. I don't even know what it is.
Let's see. This, and then here come the emails for you, okay? Texas okay. Chicks and Bird Dog Whiskey, Rome. She is real.
Yes.
It is so good to meet you. I'm glad, Kaylin, that you put the conspiracy down. We know that you are a real person and a real thing, and I know that is you because you sound like you write. So great to have you on. Good luck with the clones. They will find you, Kaylin. You know that. They'll find you on Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, I just had to make it known that girls can have good takes. I am real. I'm a female. So, yeah, I'm glad I got to meet you, too, and I'm glad the conspiracy is put to rest.
Kaylin, War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
She's a real thing. All right, so we can move on to the next conspiracy. You truthers can go back to Stevie Wonder because Caitlin's real. Mike Freeman. Hey, Mike, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Just coming off watching that fresh butt whooping I saw last night. Woo!
Hey, listen,
My goodness. Before
we talk about that fresh butt whooping, let's talk about how things went for you after the game, especially, Mike, when it comes to walking downstairs. What was that like?
That was a little rough. I fell down a flight of stairs in the press box, and it just wiped out. And you know, Jim, as you know, I'm one of the best athletes you've ever seen. I mean, you know that.
If not the best.
So it was a surprising thing to me. For me, one of the best athletes that ever lived, fall down a flight of stairs. But yeah, I fell down a flight of stairs and pulled my calf. But I'm, you know, my fantasy roster is in. And I'm still there, Jim. I'm here for you, mainly, and to represent me and to be the best athlete that I know. Because you would agree with this. You would tell all of your listeners I'm the best athlete that you've ever seen. So I'm here.
Well,
this
thing
is what I do. I'm here for you.
And I appreciate
Let's
it, Mike.
Get rolling, baby.
You know what, Mike? I appreciate that so much. You are here for me. You are here. Now, you sound like you should be in concussion protocol. However, I'm glad you're fine because as athletic as you are, and you are one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen. I mean, when I think about great athleticism, I think Bo Jackson, Usain Bolt, Mike Freeman. Bro, what hurt worse, your calf or your pride when you took that header down the stairs?
My pride in my face.
You're all right, though. You're playing through it.
Right.
You're playing through it, man. You are tough. You are tough. All right, so let me ask him. I'm glad you're all right. You proved it again. Mike Freeman is my guest. Mike, when the Pats jumped out to that easy 7-0 lead, they force a fumble. They look like they're about to go up 14-0. What were you thinking at that point?
I thought they were going to destroy them. And then something happened, Jim, that I can't say never seen. I just can't remember a Belichick team ever getting both outcoached and outplayed. You know, and you know this, there are teams in the league where there's a lot of good athleticism on the team, and then the coaching's not that great, and then there's sort of the reverse of that. There's teams that are really well coached, just don't have a lot of good personnel. The Patriots have had both. They have the guy, to me, that's the best coach of all time, and Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time, and all the talent around them. And they've been so dominant because they're at high ends of both things. And in this game, you saw, I mean, there's no other way to say, like, Andy Reid came in there and just completely worked over Belichick. And the Patriots got physically beaten on both sides of the ball. Like, I haven't seen that happen to them in a long time, especially at home. It almost never happened. Those are, when they went up like that, you thought this was just going to be another dominating Patriots performance, and then all of a sudden it just turned around. And I saw Kansas City and Alex Smith. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing with the physical part of it. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the passing game and how Alex Smith looked, but just the physical nature of it. I don't know if it showed on TV as much, but you really saw it there. Just they ran over the Patriots on both sides of the ball.
Mike Freeman joining us. All right, Mike, so very quickly about the offense. I mean, Andy Reid has been pretty comfortable with a conservative approach on offense in the past, but when he's got the weapons that he has right now, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, et al., does he have no choice but to open it up, and is this what we're going to see from them this year?
I think he doesn't have a choice. It's just they're so explosive, and we knew that this would be – they had these players that were going to sort of make the offense a little more dynamic. But Andy Reid, you know, I like Andy Reid as a coach. He's a very good coach. He gets in his own way. That's the problem. And he doesn't use all the weapons the way he should. He's sort of stuck in the past a little bit. And then what you saw last night was Andy Reid say, screw it. I'm going to open things up. And when you have, I mean, Tyreek Hill, his off-the-field stuff, that's a whole separate thing. But as a player, I mean, that guy is so fast. It doesn't really translate until you actually see it and him going against other and that defense he's going against, that's a good defense. And he was smoking dudes. So it's Reed has to open this thing up, and if he keeps doing this and he keeps showing a lot of trust in Alex Smith and Alex Smith keeps playing like that, they're gonna be a very tough out because too, Jim, their defense has always been good, but that's a little better. They just look like a very complete team. Now, it's 1 week and it's one game, and Andy Reid could go back to being Andy Reid. But I don't know. It seems like he seems pretty set in sort of widening this whole thing up and making that offense a lot more explosive.
Mike Freeman joining us. You know, Mike, that notion of one game, 1 week, would it also apply to the Patriots? As an example, Tom Brady said they didn't have the right attitude. Bill Belichick said, quote, bad defense, bad coaching, bad plan, bad football. I mean, there was so much hype about that team coming in. Was it just a matter of that, a bad attitude, a bad plan, bad football? Or is it more than one bad game, and is there a cause for concern, especially as it relates to the Pats' defense?
I think that's the question. That's a great question, and the answer is my guess is they will fix this, and this is sort of a blip. That's my guess. Brady, by the way, he looked pissed. Like
he did.
He lost a hand.
I agree.
Like he lost a handbag or something. He was mad. And the whole locker room. What I love about Brady, what I love about that franchise, that locker room, is a lot of teams talk about never being satisfied, but they actually live it. And it was a very somber locker room. And this is, you know, Belichick always gives the cliches one game at a time, but they know when they play horrible and they channel everything into getting better. So my guess is you're going to see that. I'll tell you one thing that concerned me a little bit, and maybe it's nothing, and maybe I just didn't quite see it the right way, but Gronkowski looked a little off to me. He looked a little sluggish, and the touchdown catch that was overturned, he got hit in the chest pretty hard, and maybe that was it. He got up and he pointed to his chest to his teammates like he had been hurt, but he didn't look right to me, and Brady looked a little slow to me. So maybe that's just, you know, the Chiefs defense will do that to almost anybody, and the Chiefs have been a pain in their butt for a while. So maybe it's just that, and my guess is they'll straighten it back out. But I was a little concerned about Gronk. He just didn't look right. But maybe he'll get right, and then my guess is they'll be okay.
It was about my family, Alvin. Now it's about your family, because your family's a lot bigger than mine. Roll it. What's up? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is awesome to be here. We are coming off a nice long holiday weekend, and I cannot even believe how much show I have for you today. We are loaded. Texas A&M and UCLA. Josh Rosen, 292 yards and 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And then he capped it off with this.
Yeah! Touchdown! And the comeback is complete!
Was that an amazing comeback or an incredible meltdown? And the answer is yes. It was both. I mean, it's one thing to go on the road and take a 34-point lead and blow it. It's quite another to blow it on a fake spike play. Doug Baldwin Jr. is my guest.
But if I'm being honest, the person I love to go against the most is my own teammate, Richard Sherman.
Don't you ever talk
about
me!
One of those guys, it doesn't matter whether it's an actual game or in practice, he does not want to lose iron sharpening iron.
I'm not going to live in the past. I've always had nothing but love and appreciation.
Chris has no hard feeling. He signed a $72 million deal in Houston, lost his job to Tom Savage, was traded to Cleveland, was cut by Cleveland, and now he's back in Denver. Win.
Win.
win for Brock.
Von Miller. Before I hit you with that Old Spice, I gotta know, Brock Osweiler's back with the team. What's it like to have him back in a Broncos jersey?
I think Brock Osweiler really came back. And the Old Spice Invisible Spray that I promote, it provides 48-hour protection. No, I'm just honestly, I didn't want him to leave in the first place.
What's next? Hoisting up a toilet? A literal toilet?
FTC! Flush the competition! CTH! Clog the holes! PIV! Plunge into victory!
Come on, a trash can? What could be better than a Rex in Albuquerque?
Actually, they call me Sexy Rexy from New Mexico.
Did you just say they call you Sexy Rexy from New Mexico? Antonio Brown.
Great to talk to you, man. You know, it's always an honor, brother.
Le'Veon Bell. What kind of an impact do you expect him to have in week one?
Well, he's in great shape. No, I'm counting on him to be able to carry the workload, 30 to 40 carries if needed.
How's business?
Boom. You took a phone call from a 12-year-old kid, and that 12-year-old kid was me. 21 years later, I'm a sports broadcaster.
Bob in Calgary.
John Elway and Sarah Jessica Parker had a kid. Would you run it in the Derby?
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, Bob. If it was 3 and it had enough Derby points, maybe. Don't you know only 20 can run in the Derby?
Hey, Jim, Larry King.
Ben Smith.
You know what?
Yeah, Sydney. Big, luscious ass and those succulent lips.
Message deleted.
Holy shit. It's hilarious to me that somebody not only got busted for stealing signs, but got busted for doing it with the one Apple product that I will never, ever, ever buy. I might need a watch like that. I've got my phone. That's my watch.
You see this watch?
And I also have a watch that's a watch. Nate Burleson is my guest.
If you want to go out there, prove your worth, and do something big in the business of TV and radio, you got to work your butt off. You've been doing it for quite some time. I've been a fan forever. I don't have to explain the grind to you, my brother.
I give all that up just to watch this epic Dodger meltdown.
San Diego still is and always will be LA's little brother. So wear that, you loser.
PJ Fleck.
I pour everything I have into making other people's lives better. If people don't want to make their lives better, that's very difficult for me to affect them. I'm here. I'm a servant.
That's right. We're from Lee Hacksaw Hamilton.
Janet, where should Paulette live when she's done? She's currently in Oakland. She wants to be in San Diego.
Wait a minute. The Chargers aren't here. They're in L.A. Come on down, Paulette. Josh Jackson, 46-yard run in the second half, but didn't quite get to the end zone. Quote, you're a little on the chubby side.
I thought it was hilarious when he said that. And I was like, I could get hawked, but we'll see what happens. And, of course, I end up getting hawked.
The best way to get hawked is to be starstruck by Johnny Football while sharing a Virginia Slim over conversation. Go to Napa Valley for wine tasting and ask for water. How long have you worked here? Like 30 years? That's like enough hawking for 30 years. There's no way you could have done all those things in 1 year. Terrence Newman is my guest.
Sometimes I wake up super drowsy, but I don't care.
Oh, dude, you got to feel great after a two-hour nap.
Heck yeah. How can you not take a nap? That's what I want to
know. When you finally get away from football, what you want to do is go watch football.
That, I'll probably try to find a girlfriend too.
You know it's time to die? That drop. Hey, time to die.
Time to die!
Listen, we got a lot of drops, and they're cool and they're fun, but I can't keep beating that dead horse. David Shaw's my guest. How do you think that matchup's going to go, and who wins that battle?
I have to be politically correct here. I would say if it happens once Christian will get away, once Solomon will hit him. I have to say that, otherwise I'll get some bad phone calls.
Brady, Belichick, you could all collectively pucker up and smooch my big white butt cheek.
When they newspaper up their windows, put tinfoil over their faces, and cry when Bill Belichick gets the key to their city.
USC Trojan, Jake Olson, my guest.
My parents were sad, and my parents might have been even harder for them, so I wanted to be strong for them and just show them that my life wasn't over and they don't have to worry about me because we still live a very fulfilling and happy life.
Mid-presser?
I don't mean to be a
Uh-oh! Young Lobster. You shouldn't have.
The Kansas City Chiefs have pulled off one of the biggest upsets in the NFL in the last 10 years.
Bad Jesus. Bad coaching. On to New Orleans.
First butt whooping I saw last night.
Kareem Hunt out of the backfield.
Wait till I drop that billion on Mill. A bill for you, Mill. Gonna let me get freaky tonight. After she sees that pile of cash, I'm gonna win this weekend on DraftKings. Darius Webb, safety for the Baltimore Ravens. Did you say you're a Heineken guy?
Yes, I'd rather have a little Heineken or a Corona. I drink too many because it make my belly big.
I'm a Heineken guy, too.
Yeah, maybe we need to meet to have a drink.
Dude, are you and I related somehow?
I think so. You have any relatives in Alabama?
Mike Freeman. Let's talk about how things went for you after the game.
Fell down a flight of stairs in the press box and it just wiped out.
I'll try to shoot some Twitters out and see how that works.
Romy, you have to add a podcast. I hope things eventually work out for you.
Bang, bang, bang.
Top five, if not three.
Jim, you're amazing, man. It's always a pleasure, brother.
Rowing the boat, Jim.
At Alvin DeLauro.
Yeah, dude.
You got hot.
Thanks, Jay, man. I'll talk to you soon.
I did drink Jack Daniels all weekend.
What? Wow.
Thank you, Jim. Fight on.
Appreciate it, Rome. Thanks, man.
Batman. Bye.
Jennifer Aniston.
Good night now!
Thanks a ton for listening and for hammering subscribe on the Jim Rome podcast. Another episode drops on Tuesday. Make sure you check that out. Enjoy a huge weekend of football. Then check back on Monday for more Daily Jungle. We'll see you then. I'm out.